You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the crime weaver, Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the monsoon summoner. Thank you, Maddie, from Discord, in this case. Yes. Also a good place to put these. If anyone is interested, please do be interested. It was a pretty narrow miss. Gordy. Yeah, or you don't have to.
It would be nice if you did.
Yeah, it's fun.
It would be awesome.
It's fun for me. Do the thing. Anyway, not important.
Did you say the senseless tales thing?
Yeah.
I didn't catch it this time.
No. Give me another hit of it.
We're What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Louder.
We're What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Slower.
We're What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Do it like an old-time radio announcer.
Oh, we're What the Folklore, I'm making sense of senseless tales. I don't know if that was quite right. I was trying to remember all of Cora.
It's like
reference point.
Sure, yeah. Well, there you go.
Do like a Gregorian monk.
No. No, bro. I'm out.
Do it like the Halo theme song.
I can't choir for you. So, Gordy, what are we supposed to do with this show?
Carmen's going to read a weird fairy tale or piece of folklore to me and Tyler.
A senseless tale.
A senseless tale,
if you will.
In fact, it'll be one that we have never heard before. We hope it is one that some of you have never heard before. And we are going to take it along the oral tradition journey. That's not good.
The oral tradition journey? I loved it.
I'm trying to get this down to like one clean sentence that says everything I want it to say.
Like pitch you could make in an elevator.
Almost like if I was in an elevator with a person for 30 seconds.
Got 10 seconds until the door opens.
I could say it. We're gonna read the story continuing the oral tradition of folklore, but in podcast form, and we're gonna add our own twists and turns to this story wherever we feel like it falls flat.
We're MST3K for folklore, but less focused.
That's,
Tyler.
That's copyrighted.
Tyler, I believe we have a sponsor for this show.
We do.
This week, a little bit.
This week, our Patreon executive producer is Christopher, who I am deeming with the Arne Thompson type 106, talking like an animal.
Because?
I don't have to justify it.
You don't? I was curious if there was one, but
there is.
You are correct. You don't have to justify it.
There is, and I have it in my head.
Okay, well, I'll always wonder.
You've gotten very aggressively possessive about things ever since we put you in charge of this part of the show. Like, you put one of our patrons in a box that you keep to yourself. And now you have secrets from us.
I like to envision myself as a warden. Like a Patreon warden. And I give my inmates nicknames.
It's code names. That way you don't get too attached in case they try to get out of the prison you've put them in.
Exactly.
Well, regardless, thank you, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher.
If you are a patron at that level, hang in there.
It's coming.
There's, again, we said this last week, small waiting list, not huge. You're coming.
Yeah.
And if you haven't gotten your Arne Thompson type yet, hit Tyler up and give him some like deets about your interests, hobbies, super cool accomplishments, anything that we can maybe like find something specifically related to you.
Or I'll just make up my own reasons.
If you saved a village in the Amazon from like some kind of jungle monster, that'd be real good to know. There's probably one for that.
Also, if you once stole butter from a partner, that would be great to know too.
Yeah.
There's a specific type we can give
you. Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to Germany, but not to Grimland. We're going to read one of those rare German folklore tales that are not a Grimm Brothers TM situation.
I am on 8 days of the Duolingo German class, so this is going to be a good opportunity.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. if we need to say I am a man, you are a woman, perhaps.
I mean, you and I need to have that exchange a lot.
Or the woman drinks, I think.
Only sometimes.
I might have to look that up, but you know, anything on that level, maybe I can make that happen for everybody.
All right. Today we are being sent to Germany by Zane on Twitter.
Deutschland.
That's the one.
We're sourcing the book Fairy Tales of Ludwig Bechstein or Bechstein.
Gordy, what does that translate to?
Ludwig Bechstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. pretty direct there.
Man, that's a fast working website.
Mm-hmm. Totally fluent in German names. That's like, it's real good. Day one, 100% fluency in names.
I'm sourcing this from oaks.nvg.org, which is hosted by a university in Norway. So if you want to like look up the tale yourself, you can find it there.
Nearby.
And this is called The Four Feathers.
Great.
Cool. All right. So this is kind of a light read today. I guess I should have researched to like give us more filler. But...
Easy breezy.
Beautiful. Cover girl. TM. By What the Folklore.
Carmen, you don't need to give us filler. We'll provide our own. Thank you very much. You should know that by now.
That's true. Today I get to relax and not rein you guys in with the iron fist that I usually have to hold over this podcast. Are you two ready?
Yeah.
Gordy?
Yeah.
We need a verbal confirmation before we can turn the keys.
All clear.
A blank stare can't solve the problem. All right.
I don't know. Can I take a nap and like leave it running for 30 minutes and then say yes?
Carmen, you read the very easy breezy story. Gordy, you take a nap. And I'm just going to talk about whatever I want. We'll see how the episode turns out.
A new experimental format for What the Folklore.
If anybody wants a podcast that is just an hour-long ramble.
Like a boring party.
Let us know.
That you can listen to.
That's real easy to do. That is zero prep work.
We're good at talking bullshit. That's like our whole day. All right, so the four feathers. A certain man got a son, presumably by the traditional means.
Why do you presume that? Because that sentence does not tell that to me at all. Quite the opposite.
I would say there is like one of three ways that could have turned out and still be pretty standard.
A certain man got a son?
I mean, it could be.
That's the shadiest language.
Is it now?
Begot a son?
Now, Is that a statement about his character?
That he's certain?
He is a certain man. He knows what he is about. Or is that...
He has a son.
He's a straight shooter.
Respected on both sides. Is that... Or is that just like... mean some guy has a son?
Some dude has a son, but he is certain about that.
Some dude got a son.
What does it say specifically?
A certain man got a son.
Got a son. It doesn't mean he knocked somebody up the old-fashioned way.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily, but it is likely means begot.
This guy stole that baby.
Was there a B apostrophe in front of got?
like a cool kind of begot?
A certain guy begot.
No, he didn't have like a hip sleeping with a lady experience. He just had a normal kind, probably.
Well, then he purchased a son.
All right, he purchased a son, but he needed to find a godfather for him, for reasons.
For reasons.
Because it's a hot baby, and he needs distance from it, so he's going to leave it at somebody else's house.
And the godfather's just like the backup dad.
The godfather is a fence.
Godfathers and godmothers is how you launder babies.
How you launder them into other families?
Yeah.
By dying so that they have to take it.
Well, the paperwork, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a weird revenge scheme. Like, I'm gonna have this baby. I'm going to die. And now you have this baby. Good luck with college.
I'm chilling in a casket.
I don't have to pay for diapers down here. So
I like that it is without question that they are going downwards.
I mean, if that's your strategy, yeah.
I assume that you just meant like being buried, but I took it to mean I'm going to hell.
Probably. Oh no.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So he needs to find a godfather, and he meets a youthful and super handsome man.
this is my godfather.
This guy
will, for sure,
will fit the bill. Look at how symmetrical his face is.
Look at this fucking surfer, bro. Who are you?
His jaw.
Get so, over here.
His jaw so chiseled. Will you be a potential guardian for my son, unknown stranger?
Look at my son. You guys look great together.
Like of the photos.
It's perfect.
The mantle place will look so sexy.
Do you have a job? No? You'll get one.
It's fine.
I believe in you.
You got a house? What? You don't need a house. You live on the road. You're a road dog.
What is a house anyway?
Exercise is
Take
good for
my
kids.
Son.
Yeah.
Please, right now.
So he meets this handsome man and begs him to be the godfather.
Just because of those qualities, because of his chiseled jaw, the like Ted Danson's forehead.
And he's young, probably also factors in, but yeah.
You'll be alive longer than me. He's suddenly old.
He's just certain, Tyler.
It's been a while since we've had a character voice.
Has it?
Feels like it.
A couple episodes.
There was one.
I kind of only have like the one, and it's old person.
There was one that
you have old witch too.
Yes,
we did one that was like a farmer that got killed by a guy, and I liked that voice, and he died so soon.
What was the voice?
I'll have to play. I don't think I can replicate it.
It's so, like that character lived and that character died, and there's no bringing it back except through recording.
Yeah.
All right. So the man, I guess, has nothing better to do, and he comes to the christening and leaves behind a pretty white pony as a gift, and then like he's just gone.
Who left the gift?
The hot bod the godfather.
Handsome. He's just handing out ponies.
Yep.
The Who kind is of this person?
The kind of godfather every 6-year-old girl dreams of. Mm-hmm.
Who just gives ponies away?
Yeah.
Is it like to everybody?
No, it's just to the kid who he has been like shanghaied into godfathering.
Did the dad leave?
No. I mean, the godfather doesn't immediately inherit the son. There are stipulations to transfer ownership of baby.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we made that up.
Yeah. Yes.
But dad, see, I get caught up in the fiction, and I like the fiction.
Not the reality fiction.
Well, it'll be different. It's a different story when we're done with it.
All right, so the kid got the name of Henry from this godfather.
Is that part of a godfather's duties?
Not usually.
Not typically. Well, maybe certain men, just he could not come up with a name. He's like,
he couldn't come up with Henry.
Yeah, you do it.
Well, he is named certain man, so maybe he's just never heard a name before.
That's true.
I am imagining.
I don't know what these are. You do it.
I'm imagining that this takes place in like some kind of wasteland where people are very scarce.
So like a Mad Max situation. So
almost. Yes.
So finding a hot bod godfather is a good get, and you got to like grab the first. First vaguely youthful person you can muster and just beg them.
Like finding the baby was a miracle. And then finding this person to be a godfather.
I got one. Yeah. I got a baby.
Double miracle.
He's got ponies.
Yeah, it's suspiciously good.
And he grew up as the pride of his parents. When he was old enough to manage his own affairs, he decided to immediately abandon his parents and go out in search of a romance and adventure.
That sounds like somebody who would not be responsible for their affairs. To me.
Yeah, that sounds like the actions of a very idealistic 17-year-old. I'm a grown-up now. I'm going to go find adventure and a romance.
Has Hot Bod Goddad been forgotten?
Yeah, he is actually... he's discussed as like the unknown godfather. Like that's.
Does he know his godmother?
No, I don't think he has one. He does have like a real mom because both parents are mentioned. Parents is plural.
Oh.
Or, a certain mother.
I mean, potentially a dad. I don't know if it tells us mom specifically. And if he did just get a kid from somewhere.
If he was gotten.
If he like pulled it up from the baby well that we've encountered. That the stork uses. So he took leave of his parents and he mounted that pony that Hot Bod gave him from the Mystery Godfather, and ignorant of the pony's worth, he rode gladly along through the wide world with no real destination or goal. Or
what is the pony's worth?
Many.
Because pony?
Unknown, just like the Godfather.
Okay. So, okay, fine.
Yeah, we don't have a lot. This, okay, I'm just going to like let you know this story creates more questions than it answers.
Okay.
So just to catch myself up, young man leaves his family behind on a pony,
mm-hmm.
not a care in the world,
mm-hmm.
seeking adventure and romance
mm-hmm.
with no destination in mind.
Yep.
Responsible for his affairs.
He's old enough to manage his affairs. It doesn't say he's responsible enough to manage his affairs.
It doesn't sound as though they're being managed to me.
He's just reached the age. Doesn't mean that he's reached the maturity level.
He's reached the ability to do it, not...
He's not
actively doing it.
Yeah, he hasn't lived up to the age that he is currently being.
Sure.
All right, so he passed one day through a forest, and he saw a pheasant's tail feather lying near him, shining bright in the sun, and he stops the pony to go get it.
And gets several diseases.
Yeah, don't pick up feathers you find in the wild.
There's not a lot of...
He picks it up. He's like, oh, it's beautiful. He rubs it all over his face and in his mouth. I love this feather.
I got the bird flu.
Not a lot of health information available, I guess.
Well, maybe the pony has some, because the pony says, whoa there. Like, stop that, boy. Leave that feather alone.
Don't touch random feathers, you jerk.
Leave it on the ground, idiot.
Of all the things we've seen, you're gonna stop for that?
You better wash your fucking hands before you get on me again.
So the boy is astonished to hear his pony speak.
I'm glad somebody is preaching the good word of basic hygiene in a fairy tale. It's a good change.
And he does follow the horse's advice and leaves the feather behind. He is not so astonished that he, like, asks the horse any personal details about why he's speaking.
And why he only cares about cleanliness.
Feather, specifically.
I mean, like, has he been in super danger before?
Apparently not. It seems like he has lived a pretty charmed life.
Like, there's been no reason to speak out and say, like, hey, don't do that. That's not good for you.
I mean, maybe there has been, and, like, the horse is just interested in feathers. So, like, earlier in his journey, realizing he forgot to pack food, he goes and he eats some berries. And they're, like, they're not the kill-you-dead poisonous, but they are the make-your-stomach-turn-inside-out-for-a-bit poisonous. And the horse just, like, watches him do this, chewing on some grass, disinterestedly. Yeah.
This is Henry's first time being away from his parents. Yes?
Yeah.
Maybe every other instance of him being in danger, the pony just, like, looked up and glared at the parents and shamed them into being better parents. Like, are you going to do something? Or do I have to come over there?
How old is Henry now?
Old enough to manage his affairs.
He is 2.
He'd have to be at least 4. Like, he's got to be wipe his own butt age. I think that counts as managing your affairs.
Yeah, that's what managing affairs
is. Can you lift your own head up, chew and swallow your own food, and wipe your own butt? All right, you're old enough to manage your affairs.
Are you going
to
drown in rain like a turkey? Covered in your own poop.
It's quite a life.
So he gets back up on the horse, and after they ride for a while, they come to a stream where there's an even prettier feather laying on the bank.
Enticing.
So he stops the pony, and the pony's like, whoa, no. Not that one either.
We're not going to go over this again.
Come on, man. Get back up here. He is even more astonished. I don't know how, like, second time would be double astonishment.
He forgotted.
Maybe.
He forgotted he is 4. It's just a limited amount of information that can be in there at once.
His head whips around. Pony?
I have a pony?
Yeah, the object permanence is not completely solidified.
By 4? Something has gone awry.
I believe that's true.
Something has gone very wrong with this childhood.
His object permanence is there enough. It's just not like complete.
It can't be there enough. It's there or it's not, right?
I mean, there's still that age where when your parents leave, it's like they're gone
it's
forever.
It's a bummer.
Like that, you know.
Is object permanence like a binary switch? Like you got it or you don't? Or is there like a scale to it? I really don't know.
I don't either. Psychologists weigh in.
I'm not sure if you can have like halfway developed object permanence where you're like, mom's gone, kinda.
Well, like maybe like you reach the point where you realize that face disappearing is not person disappearing, and then you have to get to the point where person leaving room is not person going into void, and then you you build that up to person leaving house.
Babies are fucking idiots.
I really hate them.
I don't hate them. They're just dumb.
Okay, so they ride on. Despite his double astonishment, he still has no questions for this friggin' horse.
Mm-hmm. Can I guess what happens next?
Sure.
A third feather.
Yeah, but where?
A volcano.
In the horse's butt.
It's on a hill. And how pretty?
I'm going to say that I was closer.
That's true.
You were closer. This is a bad feather.
An uggo feather?
Yeah.
Tyler?
I'm with Gordy. This is a feather from a pigeon that is rabid.
You guys suck at this. It is the most gorgeous feather this boy has ever seen.
That doesn't mean it's a good-looking feather. He's four.
He has seen three feathers now.
Yes, and this is the best one.
He is also not old enough, maybe, to understand that horses don't normally talk. He has known one horse.
That's true.
And it's a pony.
And it's a pony, not a horse. Yeah, so...
That supports the 4 years old theory. this is a more beautiful and shiny feather sitting in the middle of the grass on the hill, and he feels like he must have it, and he ignores the pony's warning, which again, he lets out.
Is it a hill or is it a mound?
It's a hill. It's a high hill.
A high hill?
Yeah, so probably not a mound.
And it's just sitting there, nothing else?
Yeah, just feather in the middle of the hill.
Is it in the ground or is it just... Loose.
It's laying in the grass.
No wind.
It might be like tangled a little bit in the little grass
I see.
Blades, but it's in the grass. So he ignores the pony's warning, jumps off, grabs it, and puts it in his hat.
Called it macaroni.
He has a hat?
That would be fun to like reframe in a horror kind of a minor key version of that song.
I'm sure somebody's done it.
I'm sure too. The other pony is like, man, that really bums me out. You have done yourself a great injury and you will repent it.
And then he pulled his pants down, spanked
by
picking up the feather.
Just picking it up?
Putting it in his hat.
And, I might add, calling it macaroni.
Yeah, because that's hot nonsense and no one will take you seriously.
What does that even mean, Yankee Doodle?
You can find like an explanation of what it is supposed to mean.
It's probably like sex stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's probably bad radio.
Sounds pretty good to me. Carmen, go on.
We're in the dark middle chapter of this Yankee Doodle situation. All right. So the youth... Apparently no longer astonished by his horse, nor overly concerned about the great injury that has been warned. Just gets back on him and rides on until they come to a good, well-built city. Mm. And there are a bunch of people dressed all fancy who are standing about, but then they like all kind of turn and march toward him to the music of drums, trumpets, and fifes.
Are we sure that this story's from this planet?
Not what, like a simulated AI situation?
Yeah, that just struck me as a way that humans don't speak. This is a good, well-built city I'm in. I like this city and the way it's built.
Look at these walls, so 90 degrees.
All of the angles are very good. Very good city. Very perfect.
Check the sweet mortar.
I like the bricks.
There are a good number of them, and they are spaced evenly.
Looks like a great place for humans like me.
And humans.
To live and work and play. Get married, have a family.
Romance and adventure.
And get along with each other.
Romance, adventure, drama here in this very great city.
Well, adding to the simulation factor, the fact that all these like nicely dressed people were just kind of hanging around and then all turn as a unit and march toward him. To the sound of drums and fifes and trumpets.
Wait, to the sound of drums and fifes and trumpets. This,
to the music of that, yes. Yeah.
So those things might not be present.
It is not explicitly.
It's just like diegetic music starts playing.
And this army of well-dressed people just turns as a unit and the whole village marches toward him.
this fairy tale was conceived by like some kind of time traveling AI that ate like a super weird burrito and then fell asleep and had a dream. I don't quite know how it made its way to us, but this was not human conceived.
The young girls who were present in this procession threw flowers on all sides as they walked, and the prettiest of them had a gold crown on a cushion that she was carrying. They all stop at Henry, and the important people of the townsfolk came up and offer him the crown and shout, "You'll be our king!"
The important what? People?
Yeah, like the chief members of the town.
What is happening?
Like the PTA?
Yeah. The town PTA.
The neighborhood watch.
They were going to do a bake sale today, but this seemed pretty good, too.
But we should what crown a king.
Somebody call Tim Schafer, because I think he would do a good job.
With this one?
With this one. This seems like a Tim Schafer OG.
Mm.
They shout, "You'll be our king," and the rest of the people all cry out together, "Hail to our king." Henry doesn't really understand what's going on.
Being four.
You being a child.
But he does kneel down and feels the crown placed upon his head, and he wonders if he's dreaming.
Henry don't a-stand, being a four.
He does what he's told.
I like the deep, manly voice that you continue to have for that.
Henry not a-stand.
Being a four.
King now?
But Henry like a king.
And we make many, many announcements as king. Lots of rules for Henry. 10 ice creams now, please.
First decree as king, no more wiping.
No. Ooh.
Henry,
ooh,
not
ooh,
like ooh. A wiping.
Bidets for everybody?
Is that like an ice cream?
A bidet?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Nah, it shoots water up your butt.
That's quite different.
A bidet, like the thing that you use.
Yeah, but what does a four-year-old need with that?
Well, you just kind of turbo blast your butthole instead of wiping it like he doesn't want to.
Power Rangers for everyone. Action figures. Ice cream butthole.
I mean, Louis the 14th took the throne when he was four, I think.
Did he?
I think so.
He would also decree Power Ranger toys for everyone.
I think you just described the toddler hierarchy of needs. Power Rangers ice cream butthole.
I just feel like as a toddler... suddenly gifted the power of king, you can say all the bad words that you're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm. Like Power Rangers.
like butthole. Yeah. Like
the strongest cusses, like Haim Saban's Power Rangers.
Hate butthole. Mean Spitman.
This is a good vein.
What's that?
We said butthole a bunch of times. This is very rich. Vein of humor we've uncovered. I think we should share it with some other podcasts.
We
so
only
they can
have
get as much out of it as we have.
We only have the highest of brows here at What the Folklore.
The highest single brow. It is a unibrow, but it's very high.
You can't
it's shared
it.
By all of us. We lift it up into the air. Just the great unibrow of our show. The golden unibrow.
The golden unibrow in the sky.
It guides us in all we do.
Something very bizarre is happening tonight.
I think we're just tired.
Maybe it's because it's late. Maybe it's because this story is fucking coked out. But something's going on.
All right, so he gets the crown, and everyone's happy that he's king. And then the pony leans down and whispers in his ear, "Now let me tell you a little secret, bucko, about why you should have left those feathers alone."
Keep smiling.
Grabs him by the scruff of his shirt.
Keep smiling.
Don't make a scene.
Nothing's wrong, but listen to me.
See,
the horse is talking.
I mean, does he have to, like, smile shout? like through gritted smiling teeth, he has to put this child in his place.
Well, his teeth aren't moving, but his lips are flapping because there's peanut butter in there. To get the effect.
If you had picked up the first feather, you would have just been a count. If you had picked up the second feather, you would have just been a duke. And if you had just freaking left that third feather alone like I told you, you would have come across a fourth feather on top of a mountain, and it would have made you an emperor, and that's way better than king.
You would have been a god.
He would have ruled so much more if you had just listen to me. I was put on this earth to be an emperor's pony, not a king's pony.
I have needs. I am accustomed to a certain status.
I would have been all about that. I would have told you faster than you could get off my pony back to go get that feather and you put that in your hat. Because I had ambitions.
Can you do tradesies?
Nope. I think once you put a feather in your cap, that's the rank you choose.
So there's still an emperor, a count, and a
duke feather.
And a duke feather still out there.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me the Yankee Doodle chose the rank of macaroni? And what does that mean? Yankee Doodle, you're killing me.
Your crypticisms. Yankee Doodle, what does it mean? He knew.
He renamed himself Kraft and started an empire of his own.
I mean, we're still talking about him. He did something right.
That's quite the historical rewrite of that song. If he indeed found the emperor feather, but he used that power to make a macaroni empire.
Yeah, it's not clear what kind of emperor you're going to be. Maybe if like that feather just stuck around for too long, like too far into the future, it was lying around, and like someone who is like super into culinary enterprises finds it, and they get all the emperor power, but there's like not emperor rank anymore. You can just rule a corporation.
That is a long time for that feather, because it was on top of a mountain. Mm-hmm. And Yankee Doodle went riding into town.
So that mountain wore down.
Yeah, fell down sometime. Right. And in its place stood a feather that they built a town around because everyone was afraid to touch it.
In spite of this ambitious pony's reprimands, the youth was pretty content with how things went.
Okay, pony, I'm a four.
And was probably far happier to become a good and just king than some kind of mighty emperor. He was trying to avoid the Peter principle of ruling.
King is about my level.
This is the end.
Damn it.
That's how it ends, right there. So I think this one has a lot more questions in story.
Yeah, of course it does. What kind of a narrative is this?
Now, this is one of the ones suggested to me as a potential Birdfall tie-in.
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
They did plant those feathers.
Birdfall is the name we have given to the what seems to be sort of a wide-scale effort of birds in fairy tales to influence human affairs.
Specifically kingdoms.
Yeah. Birds offer a lot of help.
Yeah. They place the people they want in charge of things.
Project Birdfall.
Okay. Certain man does not matter.
No.
No.
Godfather neither. Does not matter except to give him a pony.
But I want him to.
He's very handsome.
What happened to Hot Bod Dad God?
He's very handsome.
Do you think his handsomeness like led to the horse?
What?
How?
Like,
sentence again, please.
Input.
Yeah, words just happened out of my mouth, and I don't have a conscious influence over them.
Do you remember what you said?
Yes, and I can't explain why it would make sense. I was curious if like his unnatural handsomeness had anything to do with this magical horse he has.
As a factor in its magic?
As like a reason for him to have and give a horse.
Well, he's handsome. This is a reason to do anything.
I'm just wondering if it's an unnatural magical level of handsome.
No.
I mean, that's not indicated. He just has a very good like jawline and stuff, right?
Yeah, but he has a magic horse.
Talking
horse. A talking horse that knows an awful lot about feather empires.
What happened to the horse that became a bell?
I think he's still, like, left in a church, right? Did they ever unbell him?
I think so.
Did the pony unbell itself and set out on its own ambition?
I think that horse was turned back into a horse.
And not a pony.
Okay, so here's another thing. The times we've encountered talking horses are also usually bony related.
And also not good for the horses because they're like put their heads on spikes and stuff.
So like the couple times that we've encountered these, they have at one point belonged to a bony lineage person.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they've stayed with that person is another question. But like the horse turned into a bell was a bony daughter's horse.
Mm-hmm. Did that horse talk? I don't remember.
I don't think that one did.
Goose Girl did.
Goose Girl, yeah, her horse talked. And she was, we've decided, the daughter of a bony person.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She's bony once removed.
I think Bony had a horse that talked, like they watched Netflix together.
True.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's got like a stable of talking horses or if there's just this one immortal horse that can give advice.
That's seen some shit.
Yeah.
You guys ever read Harry Potter?
Yeah, I read. Sure.
Like once or twice.
Yeah.
You know how the castle has like a curse or magical effect on it that like proximity to it makes stuff sentient?
Yeah, sure. I don't remember that specifically, but
yeah, I think that's the Unseen University in Terry Pratchett's world.
Like the car that they drive that becomes alive as soon as it enters Hogwarts grounds.
No.
Is that a thing?
It was enchanted to be.
It was enchanted to fly. It gets, like, it becomes sentient when it gets to Hogwarts.
Does it?
Yeah, because it saves them on its own accord in the forest at the end without their input.
Is this a thing that is explicitly explained, or is this something
I think it is brought up.
Okay, I don't recall that.
I don't recall
it
either. But, all right, we'll go with that.
What if that is what Bony does, but to horses?
Like, something about his very presence makes horses
self-aware? Like, he is so magical that horses that are near him, like, become sentient.
Learn to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not because he wills it. Like, it's just residue. It's just his magical residue.
Uncomfortable to think about. But it makes some sense.
It's like Bony Dander.
Yeah, Bony Dander makes talking horses.
I just, Bony or not, the reception that this child gets, I can't get over.
The music from nowhere?
The music from nowhere and all like the people who are dressed up or something.
Waiting.
Yeah.
Ready for him.
Like, they're, like what is this city?
It's well built.
I think we're seeing fairy shit more than bird shit here.
You think it's illusions?
Are these bad feathers?
I mean, not necessarily bad feathers, just more potentially enchanted feathers. Like, one of those feathers will make you a count. And presumably what would happen if he had picked up that feather was that he would come across a town that needed a count pretty immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's not how the birds operate.
No, but it is still their goal.
It is their goal, but it's also kind of a fairy goal, too. Like, everyone's been playing for the human kingdoms. Trolls have been playing for the human kingdoms, and they just suck at it. Bony's daughters have been playing for the human kingdoms. Fairies kind of manipulate the... Mm-hmm. They mostly manipulate the existing royalty, but they put people in places to get kingdoms as well.
Typically, though, the fairies and the bonies of the world want to be that presence.
That's true.
Actively. Whereas the birds take sort of a guiding hand approach.
Right, but they specifically guide.
Yeah.
They don't enchant.
Can I present a theory?
Okay.
The horse heard some birds talking on a wire, like three birds gossiping,
mm-hmm.
and he heard the plan with the feathers. And the third bird said, like, if anybody talks about it, we'll turn them to stone or whatever, like we do, because we're birds. Anyway, peace. And so the horse had to keep his mouth shut about like what the feathers did, but he just kept saying like, "Don't touch that one. Just hold on, kid. I'm taking you to the sweetest feather, I promise." And he just he failed to get him to home base.
I mean, horses seem to speak a little cryptically anyway. Like the times we've had horses who give advice, it's not been...
Well, they're horses. They're not very good with language.
Yeah, like it's not been clear advice. It's been like, help that person, but know why, or don't touch that, but know why. So it could just be a horse thing, not to give the why.
Horses don't like context.
Yeah. Because in the narrative we've established, birds don't use magic. They're anti-magic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in order for this to be like a bird situation, the birds would have had to coached the town into accepting whoever wears this feather as a king, or like played some kind of game behind the scenes.
Right. I'm not accepting this of being magical.
Okay, so you're just thinking fancy feather.
Not even fancy feather. I think that they were like when I was hearing about feathers put in these specific places and thinking, like, how does this work into Birdfall? It felt to me like markers.
Markers?
Yeah.
Like breadcrumbs leading to something?
Mm.
Not even that. Just like the birds, for their own knowledge, like, this is who we want here, is this feather. Just
keeping track of people?
Yeah.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
I think it makes some sense.
You think horse has, like, tapped into
the wire.
And is...
He code broke the birds because they gossip all the time.
So this is not a bird chosen boy. This is a usurping.
Yes, not directly chosen.
This is a horse chosen boy.
Yeah. And I do think there is something like in the consciousness of like, well, we know when we see this feather, this is the one that we've been waiting for in the human populace. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it is an enchantment to get them to accept it. They just know. Like, it has been prophesized somehow.
Yeah, like the birds dropped another, like, one of those. A man with a fancy feather will be your next king.
They've just been feeding rumors for decades.
Is this, like, a real city, though?
It's well-built.
But is it real?
What did it say?
It's a well-built city.
A good well-built city?
Is it, a genuine city with actual people who really need a king?
Well, good is a synonym of genuine, so yes.
Is it?
Yeah. Don't look it up. It's fine.
Tyler wrote the thesaurus.
Yeah, you're right. I don't need to look it up.
Yeah, my name is Thesaurus.
I mean, it does.
With a silent Eiler.
That does not make sense. Your name is Thesaurus with a silent Hesaurus. Or rather, the Hesaurus part is pronounced Eiler.
Yeah, my name is Thesaurus with a silent Hesaurus and an invisible Eiler.
Yes, there you go. It's like that. That Monty Python sketch.
Yeah, it does seem like these people have been, like, brainwashed a little bit.
Yeah, these are not, like, the actions of normal people.
You don't just mill around in your nice clothing, ready to throw a parade at any moment.
True.
Like, you don't have your flowers and things ready to go.
I mean, I don't at this moment.
I have my parade emergency kit.
Right, but it probably doesn't have, like, a fully trained town and a golden crown on a cushion that someone's already carrying around to give to the king.
Gordy, how many years have you had your Macy's Day bug out bag?
It's a couple. Like, I've got it down to, like, a couple of road flares and a portable gong.
And, like, a very big inflatable Pikachu.
Yeah. And that's kind of just, like, if it ever breaks out, I'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm. That hydrogen tank takes up a lot of space in the vacuum closet.
Yeah, like, the whole apparatus for to swiftly, like, nigh instantaneously inflate a 10-story Pikachu is like, kind of a dangerous thing to keep in an apartment.
Sure.
It's worth it if it ever becomes necessary.
Yeah, we got our intern protecting you. It's fine.
Do we? Maybe that's what she's doing in the closet. Just keeping an eye on my supplies.
Taking huffs of hydrogen.
I don't trust this town.
No.
They have been...
No, it's weird and bad. It seems bad.
They have definitely been brainwashed. This Henry person, I want to explore his character too.
Yeah.
Four.
He's a four.
Okay.
End character.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, he takes everything in stride. He's trying to find the story.
What is he made out of?
Meat?
Kid?
What are you talking about? Standard
child parts?
I like Kid Henry better than I like Meat Henry. Neither stacks up to Iron Henry.
That's true.
Still kind of a disappointing story, but good name.
This horse is a great character, though.
True.
The horse is good. I get what the horses.
A pony with ambition is compelling.
That to me supports a bony pony situation.
Yes.
Like, this horse has seen some shit and has also inherited some of the ambitions of its masters or compatriots.
Have we talked about my horse curiosity on this show?
No. Not
horse,
phrased like
horse
that.
Media. Just that typically when I think of horses and when I see them in multimedia, their greatest ambition is to be friends with a girl.
Uh-huh.
So a horse that wants to rule the world is a bit of a step up, I think.
Yeah, I would like to see one of those like Saddle Club style movies reimagined with this emperor bent.
This is the pony that will saddle the world.
Speaking of movies, it's been a little bit since we've like reframed one of these as a feature film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this one has potential because it's a little light enough on its actual story meets that you can build around it pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's fix this.
Who do you have in mind?
Well, I don't have people in mind. I'm thinking like, how would we shoot it?
How would we shoot it?
Like, what kind of angle would we take on it? Because we've got sort of a creepy horror vibe by the end there. Like this
make
horse...
it a surrealist nightmare.
And this horse goes from friend to like threatening person because the horse says you're gonna regret this. Like,
yeah,
you've done yourself an injury and you will repent it.
I don't think that is true.
It is not, but the horse...
This is just what the horse thinks.
The horse definitely thinks that king instead of emperor is great injury worthy of repent. So the horse takes on that threatening air at the end. I think we've got like a surrealist horror situation going on.
Yeah, Terry Gilliam.
We need to
get him back in the director's chair.
Handsome godfather back in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the Chekhov's loaded godfather. Like that's the primary drive of Certain Man.
And it's where the horse comes from.
Yeah.
Let's just cut Certain Man out of it entirely. Handsome man.
But then you lose that beautiful scene of, I have a son. I need a godfather. You, with the chiseled jaw.
What if it's a flashback?
Come with me to the baptism.
Where handsome dad says, like, I'm not your dad, I'm your godfather. Here's what happened.
Like a How I Met Your Mother situation?
Yeah, but it's very short and more entertaining.
I don't know if that fits in with the surrealist horror angle that it goes into later.
Well, that's the tone later.
It's the final scene because handsome godfather shows back up at the end.
And says, I'm not your dad.
And says, I'm not your real dad. Like, I knew you could do it the whole time, but I'm not your real dad. This is what happened. And then they go back in time and the horse was his dad.
What if it, like, in the film where you have those scene transitions, like horse where it pans dad, away. Dad. I mean, horse I support dad, horse dad.
Horse dad.
I'm not knocking horse down horse dad. Dad.
Horse dad. What was your idea?
So like in the scene transitions where you've got these people traveling, doing nothing, and then the camera pans out to the wilderness, like it pauses and there's handsome godfather just standing and staring at nothing and it continues panning. And, like, you see that in every scene. He's just somewhere in the back, and there's, like, a little musical sting when you see it, and the camera hitches on that for a moment, but then continues moving on like an ordinary scene transition.
What's the payoff?
More surrealist horror.
Well...
You're just forever left wondering why he's there and what he's doing.
That's not surrealist horror. That's just creepy images. Like, you might as well do, like, that car commercial thing where a zombie jumps up. Well, like, it's just a 4-year-old boy on a horse tracking shots, like Lord of the Rings New Zealand shots, and then handsome dad jumps in front of the screen and says, I'm here.
No, it's not a jump scare. It's a he was there the whole time watching. So you're like panning through the wilderness and he's just there in the background.
But why?
That captures the feeling of this whole story. Don't you see?
I do see. I just don't like it.
Like you take the experience of this tale and you get into film form by panning slowly, slightly hitching on this handsome man just standing in the woods staring. And then continuing on as though he wasn't there.
I like horror to have a why. Like, I don't like horror stories to be about, but why?
But that's the scary. It's the ultimate horror because it is about the unknown. There's nothing to known. There's no solution here.
I would like it to be less that there isn't a known and that more that there is a known that we cannot know, you know?
And that's certainly possible here. Why is he's the godfather? He's watching over everything. He's making sure his pony's treated just right and gets to become emperor one day.
Because he couldn't.
Right.
Because he took the hot surfer bod feather.
As a boy. He regrets the feather that he picked up and put in his hat. And he wants better for his godson.
Well, no, he wants better for his horse.
And his horse.
His horse is his real godson.
Just through via this child that he has access to, I guess.
Okay, to wrap up, the horse is his real godson. The horse is Henry's real father.
Yes.
And they called it Macaroni. That's the name of the film.
Slide wipe to credits.
Thank you, Zane, for taking us on this journey.
Thanks, Zane.
Thank you, Zane, for the Yankee Doodle Dandy. Thank you, Chris, for sponsoring the episode.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you to all of our patrons who keep us running and let us do exciting new things.
Thank you to our top-tier patrons, Sarah, Robert, Haley, Whisper Biscuit, still good name, Timothy, Dominic, Justin, Jeremiah, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you. Thank you, Meat Henry.
Thank you, Meat Henry. Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Goats.
Thank you, Goats.
Thank you, Hot Bod Dad God.
Thank you, Hot Bod Dad God. Hobba Daggod.
Thank you, Surrealist VR Town.
Thank you, Surrealist Nightmare.
Thank you, Diegetic Music.
Thank you, Diegetic Music. We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.